Give you an inch. Give you an inch. No. So we're going to be digging it over the next few weeks through the summertime. We're not going to be in any sort of sermon series. I like to give myself just a little bit of a chance every year or every couple of years to not really be dedicated to a specific topic for a few weeks, but just to really share from my heart what I feel like God is speaking kind of right now and just some things that God's been speaking to my heart. And so that's where we're going to be over the next few weeks, June, July, and in through August. And so this is not going to be connected to any sort of series. This is just some things that God's been putting on my heart recently that I felt like I needed to share and that the Lord was leading me to share. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 today. And you can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app. And we're going to dig right in here in just a sec. I just want to read this. This is going to be a little bit of a lengthy text, and I'm going to try to not stop and preach as I read this story. So let's dig into the Word, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to see what the Lord will say to us today. Amen? Amen. Here we go. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the Word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. This time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in from the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Verse 8, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the son of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. I'm going to read that part again. Verse 11, as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to speak to us today. Lord, I ask you, God, to make your word come alive in our spirit. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to make our minds be alert, cause our hearts to be open, cause our ears to be open. And God, let us step into this moment and receive everything that you have destined and called and prepared for us to receive today. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So I know it was a lot. That was a big chunk that I just read. But here's what's happening there. In that chunk of scripture, basically, Peter, James, and John, who are professional fishermen, this is their trade, this is their job. Jesus comes upon them after a full night of fishing where the Bible said they had not caught anything, okay? Jesus happens upon them, and there they were, washing their nets, mending their nets, fixing their nets, and Jesus says, hey, I need to borrow your boat to teach this great crowd of people. Let me into it. And here's what happens in this story. In one moment, in one encounter, and with one act of obedience to Jesus, what happened in Peter's life and James and John's life is this. In one moment, in one encounter, their life was transformed from a life of maintenance to a life of mission. And today I want to take just a couple of minutes and dig into this text. And I believe the Lord is challenging and would challenge every single one of us to allow him to move us in our walks with him from a place of maintenance to a place of mission. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, maintenance or mission? Say it again, maintenance or mission? What is the difference between maintenance and mission? The word maintenance simply means this. It means to keep an existing state or to keep things the same. And so when Jesus happens upon Peter in this life-changing story, Peter is in maintenance mode. He is trying to make up his losses. He's fixing the nets. He's trying to stay in the same position that he was. He's trying to do what he's always done and have what he's always had. And he's satisfied with that. He feels like he's in a comfortable place in his life. And he's saying, man, I'm just trying to maintain what I've already got. Here is the problem with a maintenance mentality if that's the way I live my life. Listen to me close. Maintenance fights for what is while mission will fight for what could be. You follow what I'm saying? And there are many times that I've been confronted in my life following Jesus. I find myself constantly being challenged as I look at the Word and as I pursue God and as I pursue the Lord. Guess what? I've come to realize that Jesus is always challenging me and pushing me to be about his mission rather than maintaining what I already have. Amen? And if I allow myself to stay in a maintenance mode, if I allow my life with God, if I allow my life's purpose, if I allow my walk with God to just stay in kind of a constant state where I don't want to get too up, I don't want to get too down, I just want to keep everything even, I just want to keep everything on the level, I just want to keep everything kind of the way it is, what happens is I will begin to become obsessed with keeping everything the way that it already is, because it's comfortable and I know it and it feels good and I know how to work it and I know how to operate in that system. However, God may have a great thing that could be that I'll never even open my eyes to or see because I'm so obsessed trying to keep what already is. Amen? Everybody say maintenance or mission. And the danger that we find ourselves in a maintenance mode is this. The danger is I might miss what God has because I'm trying to keep what already is. And always, when I read stories like this, and a lot of times in the Bible, I start to ask myself, well, just kind of follow the train of thought, what would have happened if Peter responded a different way? Okay? Again, this is Peter's livelihood. This is Peter's job. Peter has got to catch the fish to sell at the market to feed his family, and he had a down, bad night last night, and he's got to get these nets ready. So when Jesus shows up and says, hey, Peter, let me hop in your boat for a minute so I can pull out away from the crowd and everybody can hear what I need to teach to him. Let me use your boat for a second. Peter has every reason and excuse and logical thing that makes sense in the world to say, you know what, Jesus, honestly, I'm a little too busy right now. I've got a lot to do right now. I've got a lot on my plate. I missed my mark. I missed my quota. I missed what I needed to bring in last night, and I've got to make up the difference today. Jesus, I don't really have time to take you out in my boat right now. I'm going to need you to find someone else. And you know what? If it wasn't Jesus asking Peter, if we didn't, and you have to understand, okay, well, that was Jesus. Of course, we would say yes to Jesus. Well, Peter knew that Jesus was something special, but he didn't really know Jesus was Jesus at this point yet. Do you understand? At this point, Jesus is just a cool teacher that he has a lot of respect for, but he's not like the Messiah to Peter quite yet, okay? So it would have made complete sense for Peter to say, man, I can't do it, to politely decline, okay? But here's what I've got to understand. Listen to me now. Don't miss this. It is often obedience in a little mission that will lead to God's greater mission in my life when I say yes to the little thing, okay? Peter says, yes, Lord, that's fine. I'll stop what I'm doing. I'll stop maintaining what is, and I will allow you to use my boat for a second. So Jesus gets in Peter's boat. They go out, and then in that moment, after that transaction takes place, after that moment of obedience takes place, it leads to Peter's encounter with God with this great, miraculous catch of fish, which eventually leads to Peter's ultimate mission. And if you know the story of Peter's life and where he ended up, I mean, it was Peter that some years later down the road in Acts chapter 3, after Jesus was resurrected and went back to heaven, it was Jesus that commissioned Peter to feed his lambs and to be the guy who was really leading the church in Jerusalem in that first century. It was Peter in Acts chapter 3 that stands up on the day of Pentecost, and after the Holy Spirit had baptized him and they were speaking in tongues, the Bible says Peter preached a sermon and 3,000 people came to Christ in one moment. It was Peter that becomes the spearhead and the leader of what everything God did throughout the book of Acts until we get to Paul's life. God had big plans for Peter. And Peter could have easily missed it. And on the outside, it would have made complete sense for Peter to miss that moment Because he was busy maintaining what was. But because he said yes to a little mission, because he was faithful in a little thing. Hey, let me use your boat, Peter, for a minute. Stop what you're doing. I know you're busy. I know you got to make that money. I know you got to get that fish caught. I know you got to do what you got to do. But hey, let me, you, because he said yes to that moment, it led, that literally was the thing that hinged and opened up the door to everything else God had planned in his life. And it happened because Peter allowed himself to, just for even a moment, to break free from simply maintaining and struggling and trying to keep what was to get a glimpse of what could be. Amen? So that's maintenance. What's mission? Mission, the word mission, one definition of a mission or a missionary group would be this: a group of envoys sent to a foreign land, okay? Listen to me. God has called each and every one of you. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are living your life for him, listen, God has called you and me to be on his mission, to be about his mission in this life on the earth. Amen? Doesn't the New Testament somewhere say, how many have heard this scripture? The Bible says, this earth, this place is not my home. Amen? Heaven is our home. We are living here, listen to me, on foreign soil. Once I accept Jesus' redemption, my citizenship is no longer on this planet. The Bible says my citizenship is in heaven. Amen? Amen? So that's where I belong. That's where I live. That's where my homeland is. I am here on foreign soil. And we are all called to be missionaries wherever we are. Amen? Amen? We are called to be a part of God's mission. Put this on the screen, Matthew 28 for me. Put that up there for me, Matthew chapter 28. Look at this. Here's our mission. Here's our mission. This is what we're sitting here to do. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's our mission. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here's another part of our mission right here. Look at this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, those were some of the last words and some of the last commands and some of the last orders, if you will, that you see. We need to look at Matthew 28, 19 and Acts 1, 8. We need to look at that as not just some suggestions or commands. We need to look at that as Jesus, the general, giving marching orders to you and I, people, emissaries, missionaries in his army. That's what that is. Those are our orders. Go make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go be my witnesses in through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. That covers all of the ends of the earth, okay? Let me just break that down for you real quick, a little interesting. Why didn't he just say to the ends of the earth? Well, I think he's wanting to make sure that we understand exactly where we're to be missionaries at. Jerusalem, to the people he's talking to, Jerusalem represents their city, their town, their neighborhood, where they live. Does that make sense? So he's saying, I want you to be on mission. I want you to be my witnesses right where you live, okay? After you reach that, then he said, I want you to look up a little bit. He said, I want you to not only think about locally on your neighborhood and in your block, in your town, but why don't you see what you can do to be witnesses throughout the region in which you live in? Amen? Okay? Now you say, well, what about Samaria? Samaria is a little different because you ever heard the story of the Good Samaritan? You know why that was so offensive to Jewish people when they read it? Here's why. Because the Samaria represented almost like a ghetto area attached right there by Jerusalem, but it was where a group of people called Samaritans lived. Samaritans believed in Jehovah the same way that the Jewish people did. However, they thought that the holy place to worship basically was the place in Genesis where Jacob had met with God, not the place where Solomon and David had built the temple as instructed by God. And so there was this little rift between them. But here's the thing. Because of that rift, so they essentially they believed in God. They have some different ways to express that, and basically their rift began over where should we build the temple at? Where is the proper place to worship Jehovah God at? Okay. Now because of that, listen, Jewish people looked at Samaritans as complete dogs. Okay? These were the worst of the worst, the dregs of society in a Jewish person's mind when they hear that. So when Jesus tells the story of the good Samaritan who was better, who actually showed more of the love of God than a Jewish scribe or a religious Pharisee or a teacher of the law, that slapped them in the face because they recognized that even though we had all the right teaching and we had all the right rules and everything, this other guy had the right love. And it was somebody that we would have never thought would. Okay, so when Jesus says Jerusalem, Judea, he intentionally throws Samaria in there because he wants them to know, I don't only want you to go to the people that look like you and think like you and live around you. He said, I want you to be on the lookout for the people that you're not normally on the lookout for. I want you to be on the lookout. I want you to be my witnesses to people that you would never witness to, that you would never hang out with, that you would never have dinner with, that you would never think to show love to. I want you to be my witnesses there too. That is our mission. Amen? And I believe this, that God wants you and I to not live a life simply of maintenance, but to live a life of His mission. Amen? But to do that, I'm going to have to be willing to break out of maintenance mode and get into mission mode. Amen? And there's some keys, I think, in this story that'll help us break free from a life of maintenance and discover a life of mission. Here's a couple of them real quick. Listen, number one, we've already hit on this a little bit, but I want to say it and express it clearly and intentionally. Listen, first thing I've got to understand is that mission starts where I am. Amen? Mission starts where I am. If, let me say it this way. I can be on mission right where I am. I don't have to go to Africa. I don't have to go to Kenya. I don't have to go to Mexico. I don't have to go to South America. I can be a missionary right where I am. Not only can I be on mission right where I am locally and geographically, but I can begin to live life on mission right where I am in my spiritual journey. When Jesus calls Peter in this moment, Peter is not ready, quote unquote, like we would think he should be ready. Peter is not quite yet qualified. He doesn't have all the boxes checked on his resume to start Christ's mission, but him not having all the boxes checked doesn't stop Jesus from calling him to be on his mission anyway. So listen, you and I, don't think for a second that Jesus is waiting for you and I to jump through a bunch of spiritual hoops or be able to check off a bunch of resume boxes before we start living on mission. We can start on mission right where we are. Peter is in full-on fishing, professional, making the money, living a life of maintenance, maintaining what he's in full on that mode. And in that mode, Jesus calls him to be a life of mission. And he begins that mission with that first act of obedience. Let me borrow your boat. Stop what you're doing. Let me borrow your boat. I can start a mission right where I am. Well, I thought I needed to know a bunch of scriptures, and I thought I'm not a very holy person or a very righteous person, or I mean, I've got these issues I'm still struggling with. Listen, I'm not saying that we don't need to work on the issues and get free of things that are tripping you up. What I'm saying is you don't have to wait to get all those things taken care of before you start being on mission for Jesus. You can start being on mission for Jesus right now, right where you are. All of your faults, all of your hangups, all of the things that you feel like are jacking you up. Can I tell you what you'll discover probably? Is you'll discover this. All the things that you look like are weaknesses, when you say, Lord, I'm surrendering that to your mission, God will turn those weaknesses into the thing that he uses for his strength. Amen? So mission starts right where I am. And I think another thing is pretty important here too. The Bible said Peter had fished all night long and needed his catch of fish because that was his business, how he fed his family. He had a need. He needed God to provide. Okay? Jesus says, Peter, I need to borrow your boat for some kingdom business. That's my translation. I need to borrow your boat for some kingdom business. Stop what you're doing. Let me borrow your boat. Peter says, okay. Then after Jesus completes his small mission there, what he was there to do in that moment, then Jesus says, there's a big catch of fish right under this boat right now if you let down your nets. It's amazing to me that the miracle showed up after Peter surrendered to the mission. Amen? The miracle of provision that Peter needed, it was already there. It was already waiting. It was right there. But his eyes weren't open to it, and the door didn't open to it until Peter surrendered first to the greater mission of Jesus instead of being about maintaining his own personal mission of his life. Amen? And some of you may understand, you may have been praying for something. You may have been believing God for something. You may say, man, I've got this need that I'm bringing to the altar every Sunday morning. What you don't understand is that quite possibly the miracle that you're waiting for is waiting just on the other side of you forgetting about that miracle for yourself and just focusing on the mission. Didn't Jesus say, don't worry about a thing, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you? Come on, somebody. Listen, we get so, and I'm guilty of this too, I get so wrapped up and so bogged down in the stuff that Justin Bradley needs. And here's the thing, the stuff that Justin Bradley needs, it's all in heaven. It's all in the presence of God. God doesn't have a problem with provision, but what God does want to do is get me in a place where I'm ready to receive it. And that place of me being ready to receive it is usually the place where I feel like, where I decide, you know what, I can do without it. Your mission is more important than mine. Amen. So the miracle didn't show up until after Peter got about the mission. The second thing that needs to happen if I want to break free from maintenance is when God does provide and when God does begin to move and when the miracle shows up that I've been waiting for and that I've been believing for and I've been praying for, listen to me, I need to be willing to look beneath the surface of the miracle to see the greater thing and deeper thing God's doing. Okay? What do you say? What are you talking about? Watch this. Verse 8. So let me read verse 5 again. Verse 6. Verse 11. No, we're going to verse 6. It says, this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Verse 8, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. Peter almost got so wrapped up working the miracle that he couldn't see the deeper thing that God was doing beneath the surface of the work he was involved in. Amen? And so it says when Peter realized what had happened, that means that Peter got so caught up in pulling in the fish and pulling in the catch that at first he didn't even really recognize that anything supernatural or miraculous was happening. But all of a sudden the light bulb went off and he said, oh, wait a minute, this isn't normal. This isn't a normal catch of fish. In fact, this is the same place that I've been fishing all night long. You know what I mean? And he was like, oh, wait a minute, we're in the middle of a God thing. Do you know that sometimes, and I've had this happen in my life where I get so wrapped up and busy working and grinding and pushing and about the minutia and the mundane stuff that just, listen, stuff that just has to get done, that sometimes I don't recognize and see what God's doing through the work that I'm doing, and I need to take a step back, look beneath it, and go, oh, wait, God's at work here. God's at work in this mess. God's at work in this work. God's at work in this grind. And I've got to be willing to look beneath the surface of the miracle to sometimes find the greater mission. And so when Peter realized that God was involved in this miracle, he was like, oh, God, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of feeling this way. And that is what led to the conversation of Jesus saying, Peter, I've called you to fish for men, not for fish anymore. Follow me. See how that works? To break free from maintenance, look beneath the surface of the miracle. Don't get so busy working the miracle that you miss the mission. Okay? Don't get so busy working the miracle that you miss the mission. Listen, I'm so thankful for all of you in this church and in this family that serve and give and are part of what we're doing here and what God's called us to do here in this community. Many of you work and serve in multiple areas of the church and every Sunday morning to make this moment happen for people, where it be from kids or greeting or ushering or working in the sound booth, all those things. Listen, and when we have events that I'm going to share with you about a couple of events we have coming up this summer, listen, it's going to take us working and grinding together, putting our gifts together, putting our hands together to make it happen. I just want to let us know, listen, don't get, and listen, the work has to happen. Amen? We have to do it. But as we're working, we can't allow ourselves to get so caught up and bogged down in the grind that we miss the glory that God's doing in the middle of it. We need to take a step back once in a while and go, whoa, look what God's doing here. Look what God's doing here. We can't get so caught up in the work, working to take care of what God's doing, that we miss the greater mission involved in it. Amen? The third thing I got to do to break free, and this is probably the most important attitude in my heart I've got to have. Verse 11. As soon as they landed, this is really amazing if you take a second to think about it. As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. What do you think left everything means? Can I tell you what everything means in the Greek? It means everything. It means all of it. Including the big catch of fish they had just been believing God and working so hard to pull in. And as soon as they got back to land, the Bible says they left it there and followed Jesus. Hear me now. If you haven't heard anything else, hear this. In fact, just lean in. I'm not even going to shout this. I'm going to whisper it to you. Lean in. Let me just whisper this in your ear. Everybody lean in. Lean in your ear for just a second. Listen. A mission-focused life will often demand that I leave behind what I've been trying to maintain. And if I am unwilling and refusing to leave behind what I've been fighting to maintain, I may be in danger of never finding the mission that God really has for me. And if I don't get on mission, then I'll relegate myself to cycle after cycle, season after season of just maintaining what I've already gotten. They left everything and followed Jesus. That's amazing to me. These were, like, again, I think we don't have very many. If you're a professional fisherman in our culture, that means that you're a, you know, that's looked at almost as an athlete. You're on TV. That's not these kind of professional fishermen. Weren't that type of fishermen, all right? This is, their livelihoods depend. They left everything. They left what they did for their living behind to follow Jesus. What could possibly make them do that? They discovered the greater purpose of his mission. And it demanded that they leave behind their maintenance. Amen? Play that music for me, because I'm going to wrap up here. Bring it down just a little bit. I've shared all that to just simply say what I really feel like is on my heart to say to us. This is for this church. This is for us, Red Light family. This you can apply this to every area of your life. I don't want any area of my life to get stuck in just simply trying to maintain what I've already got when God may have something greater that could be. Amen? My marriage and my relationships and in my finances and every area. Well, let me just relate this to us as a church family for just a second. What I really feel like the Lord wants somebody to hear this morning from my heart to yours is this. Listen, when Jesus shows up, when Jesus shows up there in verse 4, the Bible says they were on the shore, they were washing their nets, mending their nets, getting ready to go back out after a long night, after a long night of failure. Jesus shows up to them in a moment of failure. They had not succeeded in doing what they wanted to do. So they were trying to maintain, trying to get ready to go back and get it done again. And they were washing their nets, getting ready to go back out. And Jesus comes out to them and says, let's put out in the water right now. Oh, but our nets aren't ready yet. Let's put out in the water right now. Man, we've already been out in the water all night long. And honestly, they could have said, I'm tired. I'm wore out. I want to go home and get some rest and get my mind around trying to do this. Jesus said, no, right now. Right now, let's put out. Let's go out into the deep again. And I really felt like the message that we need to hear from this today is this. Let's stop washing our nets from a past season of failure. Let's believe God to put out into the deep waters again, church family. Amen. Let's determine that we are not going to get caught up trying to maintain what we already have and stay where we are. Let's determine to get out and be on mission again. Amen. Let's decide we're not going to stay on the shore just washing our nets, ready to go back out and keep doing the same thing that we always know to do. I really feel like the Lord is speaking to somebody's heart this morning. I really sense the Holy Spirit talking to somebody and just whispering in your ear, hey, I know you may feel like you haven't accomplished it. I know you may feel like you may have been kind of hit and miss or been in a place of failure. I really feel like the Lord is saying to somebody, it's time to put out. It's time to put out into the deep waters again. It's time to be on mission again. You sat on the sidelines and sat on the shore washing your nets long enough. Jesus is speaking to you, saying, get about my business again. Get on mission again. Maintenance season is over. It's time to get about the mission of the kingdom. It's time to get about the mission of the kingdom. So the question I want to put before you is this. Where's the deep place that God's calling you to put out again? Where's the deep place that God's calling you to cast the net again? Where's the deep place in your life that God's calling you to be on mission again in? Wherever it is, let's decide, God, that's where I'm going to go. Amen? Now, for us as a church family, this summer, there are three opportunities for us to work together and cast a net into the deep waters of this community again. On the fourth Sunday of every month, beginning this month, so 3 weeks from now, the fourth Sunday of every month, June, July, and August, we're going to leave the comfort of our air-conditioned facility here. We're going to pack up all of our gear. We're going to head down to the Brookville Town Park, and we are going to have, we're calling it Summer Sunday Fun Day at the park. There's our dates, there's our times. Every service, we're going to have a cookout afterwards, we're going to have some games, we're going to have inflatables, we're going to just make it a block party type atmosphere. We are going to have a great time. And this is going to be a great opportunity for you to invite someone who is not serving God, who is away from God, who is away from church. This is a great opportunity for you to invite someone who you know struggles coming in for whatever reason, whether they are made up, whether they are foolish, whether they are legitimate. Some people may have legitimate reasons. Legitimate hurt has happened. Some people just have excuses. I understand there's a broad spectrum there, but no matter what the reason is or how legitimate or foolish it is, if it's their reason, it's their reason. Here's the deal. There are people that struggle coming into the doors of a church on Sunday morning. This is a great opportunity to invite someone to hear the gospel, to experience the presence of the Lord in a non-church atmosphere. Amen? And I'm challenging today, next week, next week when you come here Sunday morning, there will be invite cards for each. They're going to look just like that. They're going to be out at the welcome table. They're going to be at the community areas. I'm challenging every single one of us right now. If you're watching online, I'm challenging you to be a part of it. Hey, listen, if you're watching online, we're not going to be broadcasting these services, so you're going to have to come join us. We can't wait to shake your hand and hug your neck if you do. It's a great opportunity, okay? And I'm challenging each and every one of us, whether you're watching online, whether you're part of our Facebook family, whether you're watching this later on, or whether you're right here today, I'm challenging each and every one of you to think of at least one. I'm not asking you, I'm thinking, just let's find one person that you're going to pray, believe God. That's where that person is where you're casting the net at, that you're going to invite to one of these services and come be a part. Can you do that?